God.
In just a moment, the men of valor will be putting the notes in your hands. And I did not have notes for you last Sunday, but when I bring lesson three, three Sundays from now, I'll bring you the notes to last Sunday's message, positive and negative faith. A lot of people never realize that they're operating in negative faith, and they're getting exactly what they're believing for and don't even know they're believing for it. But positive faith is something you've got to develop and practice, and it will change and transform your life. So grab your notes, The Reality of Faith, Lesson 2 in the series on faith, and we'll leap into it today. And the video that you just watched, it wasn't a bad video, that little pausing and flickering in there. God is giving us a new media player.
Yes.
Because that one tends to hesitate from time to time. And I'd like a little bit cleaner flow. So God is giving us a new media player so that we don't have skips. Amen. When we're watching videos, because you never can tell when I'm going to bring something in. I put together these notes, and the notes that I'm sharing with you today, very few of you will remember, but I touched on this same train of thought when I first started teaching faith, Maryland, back in 1983. So if you remember that far back, you may remember some of the points I made. But I was going through this lesson out of my files on faith, and the Lord showed me a couple of different things, and so I did the notes. I got it typed up. I was ready to go with it. And I work on a message during the week, and then Saturday night before I go to bed, I go over the message one more time so that I sleep on that message. Because whether you recognize it or not, what you do just before you go to bed affects your sleep. That's why you don't ever want to have an argument just before you go to bed. You don't want to have a fight before you go to bed. You don't want to think about the IRS and taxes before you go to bed. I'll give you two things that'll help you sleep as never before. At night, when you're about to go to bed, grab a tablet and write down everything you've got to do the next day. Well, Pastor, why do I do that? Because your mind will keep thinking about those things to try and remind you of things you got to do tomorrow, and it'll affect your sleep. But if you'll just sit down and make a list of everything that you've been thinking about that you should do tomorrow, then your mind knows, now I can rest. I don't have to keep that before them. So just sit down with a tablet and write down. And then number two, if you really want good sleep, read the Bible. After you've made your list, then read from the Word of God, because whatever you do as you're going to sleep will affect you. That's why I never could understand idiots that want to watch a horror film before they go to bed.
Yeah.
Pastor, my child's having nightmares. Well, what'd you do before you went to bed? We watched a vampire movie. Stand a little closer. I want to cast that devil out of you. Parents don't do that with their children. But by reading the Word of God just before you close your eyes, your spirit is renewed and can reach the ascendancy while you're sleeping. And then you wake up with revelation. So I go over the message before I go to sleep. I wake up in the morning, and sometimes God wakes me up in the night, and I keep a note tablet on my nightstand. And God will wake me up in the night, and I'll reach over and get the tablet, and I'll make notes during the night. Well, I didn't get any notes last night. But this morning I was reading through the notes, and hopefully we'll get to the last page of our notes today. And the Lord said, did you ever think about this? And I went, I have taught this scripture dozens of times, gone through it all these times, and I have never seen that before. If you'll open yourself to revelation, Bob, by opening yourself, reading, and then saying, God, I'm open. If you want to show me anything here, God will show you things you've never seen before. Even in a passage you have taught, ministered from, and Ken think you've got it down, then all of a sudden God goes, did you ever notice this? And you go, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now I know if you're a King James person, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But substance is what gives you assurance. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, the evidence. To get a conviction, you have to have evidence. And so if you have evidence, then you have a conviction that this is true. And so for years, I liked the evidence of things not seen. And then one day in reading the New American Standard, I saw this conviction. It got me, yes, that's what faith is, a conviction that the evidence I have is valid. Because the lawyer will say to the jury, if you're not convinced that they're guilty, then you must acquit, because if there's any doubt, you got to throw it out. And this is where a lot of Christians are slipping up. They don't have conviction. They have a feeling, an opinion, a hope that what they have read is true. But they're not convicted. There's no conviction of it. And so because there's not a conviction of it, doubt, that little shred of doubt is still there, whether it's really real. But Ethel, we've got to get to the point where that the Scripture, we have a conviction. God said this, and it can't be any other way. Now, faith is the assurance that that substance of God said is enough to convince you that you're convicted by this truth, that God said it, it's so, and it's coming to pass for me. Because if you do not have that conviction that God's word is trustworthy, dependable, then that little doubt in there will sneak in and move you away from the truth. If there's any doubt, kick it out. Doubt is something you always kick to the curb. Now get this. Faith has substance. The new covenant, the word of truth, is the substance you have. Pastor Jim, how do you know you're healed? Not because the doctor told me, not because my body told me, not because my feelings told me, but because God's word said, with his stripes I was healed.
That's right.
But Pastor Jim, how can you boldly say I'll never be broke another day in my life? I remember what it was like to be broke. Between you and me, Winnie, I didn't like it. Broke was not a comfortable place. In fact, I didn't even like badly bent. I didn't like barely get by. I like exceeding, abundant, above, and beyond. I like the good life. I like having not enough, but more than enough. More than enough is better than enough. When you find a passage in the New Testament and you adopt it as your own and say, this is my truth. With his stripes, I was healed. This is my truth. My God supplies all of my needs. This is my truth. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. And then Raymond, the devil, goes, yeah, but how are you going to do it? And you just go, I don't have to know how. I just know I'm going to do it. Because when do it needs to be done, Tony, I'll have do it in me. Do it ain't my responsibility. Believing I can is. Faith has substance, the word of truth. Faith contacts things. Gail, God impresses on me. He says, do you realize when you decree with his stripes you were healed, your faith is reaching out and touching healing and drawing it closer to you every time you say it. I want to give you a visual. Faith is my suction cup that reaches out and latches on to healed And every time I say, with his stripes, I was healed. Therefore, I am the healed of the Lord. It draws it closer. Because every time I reaffirm my faith, I am drawing what my faith has contacted into my life picture. Amen. And sometimes it takes a little longer to draw it in. Sometimes not so long. I thought it amazing that after we had decreed the passage of Scripture from Peter 2:24, as a congregation, every time you met together, Brother Richard led y'all in decreeing, with his stripes, pastor was healed, and you celebrated that truth. Well, it took a number of months for that to begin to take effect. So for 7 months, y'all celebrated that. But when it came time to pay the bills, and they were wanting like $3 million+, y'all begin to celebrate, our God supplies all of pastors' need, therefore all of pastors' bills are paid. It only took 2 months to get that done. You see, as you learn, faith has substance, God said. And faith contacts what I am decreeing. And as I continue to decree it in faith, believing that it's true, not saying it to get it to happen. You see, there's a world of difference between saying it because you're convicted that that's the truth and everything else is a lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. Sickness is a lie. The truth is, with his stripes, I was healed. And as I cling to that truth, every time I decree it, it's drawing healed. Hope is desire for or want to have. Hope says, I want that. I desire that. I'd like to have that. Faith says, here's why you do. Not you can. Get can out of your vocabulary. Well, I believe God can. No, you don't. Because if you really believe God can, you'd say God has. With his stripes I were healed. My God has supplied all of my need. I can do all things. Yes. Hope is a desire, a want to have it, but faith is what grabs hold of it and starts pulling it your way every time you make your confession of faith. Get this. Faith is permission to have, to possess, to take ownership of things you may not have seen in the natural realm, but have a promise of or for in the word of truth. I may not have seen exceeding abundant above and beyond, but I have a promise from God's word. I'm laying hold of it and it's coming to me because I am ordering its steps. Exceeding abundant above and beyond belong to me and are coming to me. So when Joan gets up in the morning and says, I am the blessed of the Lord, what's she doing? She's ordering her day.
Right.
When Judas says, and nothing shall be impossible for me because I believe, what's she doing? She is building her own faith.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I said she's building her own faith. Yes, because I'm going to let you in on something. You believe your mouth more than you believe anybody else.
Right, that's true.
In fact, some of you had lied to yourself so much that you don't know anymore it ain't true. Now, if you can do that in the negative and lie to yourself. I was talking to a guy one day and he started telling me a story and he said, wait a minute, preacher, I got to tell you, I've told this story so much I don't remember if it's true or not. Got convicted halfway through, just starting his story, he got convicted because he had told that story so many times, he could no longer remember, was it truth or was it something he made up?
Yeah.
If a lie can slip on us and hold us captive because we've said it so many times.
How about the reverse?
Now, and we ain't always got Medea around to tell us, you know you're lying. Your husband ain't dead. Whatever that means. For by it, faith, a total trust in, adherence to, and reliance on God said, men of old, under the law, not born again, not even possible to be saved, gained approval from God. Now, people who weren't born again, weren't spirit-filled, could not even be, could gain approval of God by believing God said, what can you do with God on your side? How many of y'all read my Facebook post this morning? Some of you that have asked to be included in the Daily Word got a word similar to it. But this morning I was just thanking Daddy God for some things that he's doing for some other people that I've been praying for. And Daddy said, love does that. And so I don't misquote myself, because I've been known to misquote me. Ticks me off when I do. An amazing quality about love is that it does not have to like, to approve of, or even accept what it loves. When the world was messed up and ruled by sin, John 3:16 sprang forth.
Amen. Wow.
The love of God is beyond your performance. Therefore, it's beyond my disappointing God. On my worst day, God loves me. And other people, no. The elders, against any natural reason for hope, place their hope in a promise of God. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared, brought into being, given substance. The world was given substance by the Word of God, so that what is now seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now, if you recognize in your earth walk that you have convinced yourself of something that wasn't necessarily that way, but after you had told yourself so many times, they hate me, they don't like me, you had adjusted your behavior around them, and then one day they just, you know, fronted you right up, got in your grill and said, what is with you? I try my best to show you I like you, and you always. And you go, well, I thought you didn't like me. Yeah. What made you think that?
Yeah.
You're stinking thinking. Yeah. But you thought yourself into that situation.
Wow.
Because you had negative faith. But if you'll just turn that over, you can think yourself into possessing health and wealth and joy and peace and all the blessings of God. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. We ain't with Napoleon Hill. This is not think and grow rich. This is think and be blessed. Think in line with God said. And there's a promise that covers your new car. Wally. There's a promise that covers your new car. How do you know, Pastor Jim? Because there are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, then I'll keep driving my new car and you drive what you got, because I believe it works.
Amen.
I believe healing works, so I'm going to keep on living when they said, ain't no way you can live.
Right.
But I did.
Yes.
Ain't no way you can walk again. But I did.
Yes.
Ain't no way you'll ever talk, but I did.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep it up, so
yes.
Quit looking at your watch. By faith, a total trust in, reliance on, adherence to, God said, not having been there to observe it or seen it, we know it happened. Through the operation of faith, here's how it works. We read what God said or did. We accept as truth, fact, or validity what God said or did. We adjust our thinking, believing, living to accommodate this new reality. Because I explained to you at CAP meeting 2 years ago, you'll remember, it was a morning session, faith is the ability to live in an alternate reality. The physical reality is with his stripes. No. The physical reality is you be sick. But the spiritual reality is with his stripes you were healed. You choose to depart the physical reality and live in the spiritual reality. I know my body's telling me I'm sick, but his word tells me I'm healed. Therefore, body, you're going to light up with God said. Your bank book is whispering to you. Bank book says, hey, dude, slack off on the writing there because this thing ain't written on latex. But it is going to bounce. And you go, my God supplies all of my need. And you don't write a faith check.
Right.
You wait until your faith has become reality.
Yes.
And then you write the check. Because
yes.
Faith checks is a lie. Because your faith hadn't produced what you're claiming to have. But when your faith has produced it, with joy I draw out of the wells of salvation. Recognize that faith is not the product of reason. You can't figure God's promises out. The devil wants to deceive you. Lou gets up and goes, with his stripes I was healed. And the devil goes, yeah, but how's it going to happen? How ain't in my job description. Believe and receive is my job description. How, when, who, what, all that is somebody else's job. And if the devil can get you off of your job, then you don't get paid for the job you didn't do. If I hire you to clean my driveway, and I come back and you've washed all my windows, raked my yard, and scratched my dog, you ain't getting paid. Didn't pay you for that mess. I wanted my driveway clean. But God, I've been paying my tithes. Don't lie to God about stuff. You don't pay tithes anyway. You return to God his money. So why are you trying to get on his good side by telling him you gave him back what's his?
Yeah.
Here, neighbor, I returned your hoe. Yeah, after 4 years. Done went and bought a new one. Recognize that faith is not the product of reason. So never let the devil drag you over, Brother James, and go, yeah, but how? When? What are people going to think? How are you going to? I ain't going to do it. What I said is, I said what he said. God said with his stripes I was healed. I say with his stripes I was healed. And now the suction cup of faith is drawing healed closer to me every time I agree with God. Faith is produced in a recreated spirit, well fed on the promises, provisions, and realities of God. You see, you got to read more than Peter 2:24, with his stripes I was healed. You got to read, and Jesus, coming in the eastern gate, walked to the pool and saw a man there that was crippled from his youth and said, you want to dance? And the guy changed the subject. Well, I don't have anybody throw me in the water. He didn't say, do you want to get wet? He said, do you want to walk?
Right.
Don't change the subject on God. They came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and elders came to him and began saying to him, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things? They were bent out of shape because Yeshua was doing things they couldn't. And the people were liking him more than them. So rather than get in line, they got in anger. They could have gotten in line and got some. But instead of getting some, they tried to rebuke him for giving some. By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things? Now, Jesus did not change the subject. And Jesus said to them, then, because you're asking who gave me the authority, I'll ask you one question, and you answer me. And then, when you've answered me, I'll tell you what authority I do these things. Was John's baptism legit? Was it from heaven or hell? Was John lying or was he telling the truth when he baptized me and said, this is the Christ, the Son of the living God? If John, a member of the priesthood, representing the high priesthood, because his daddy was a high priest, one of the eight who burned incense in the temple. So if John, representing the priesthood, said, this is the anointed one, the Son of God, then you know by what authority I'm doing it, because the priesthood has already named me worthy.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say it was from heaven, then we got to believe the dude. And if we say it was from hell, the people will stone us because, you know, them Jews is quick with them rocks. They got switch rocks. Just pop it out. They were afraid of the people. You know why a lot of people aren't walking in faith today? They're afraid of what somebody around is going to say if they go, with his stripes I was healed, and I may look like crap, but I am healed.
Amen.
Pastor, that's an improper terminology. You understood it, didn't you? Words are supposed to communicate, and some words communicate better than others. I could have said, you look disheveled. But then you would have reasoned among yourselves, what saith he? So I just took disheveled and one day I put disheveled over to the side and I just put in a word you can all relate to. Because you know you looked at yourself in the mirror and went, if we say it's from heaven, he's going to ask us, then why do you believe in the truth? And if we say it's from hell, the people will jump us. We really don't know. You see, if you try and cop a position, don't be posing with God. Just lay it out there. God, I ain't there yet. I want to be there. I'm trying to be there. But you see, God is so good. Nancy, a father said, I want to believe you. I really do. I just ain't there. Can I give you my unbelief? And Jesus said, just give me something to work with. And so Jesus took his unbelief and healed his son, because if you'll give God something, he'll work with it. Help thou my unbelief. And Jesus go, okay, let me have that unbelief. I'll take that. And now give and it shall be given. Verse 31, 32, they reasoned, a product of the mind. And when they reasoned, it removed them from the ability to receive from God. Just like today, if you get into reason, it removes you from the ability to believe God. It doesn't matter how he's going to heal me. It is what I am saying that matters. With his stripes, I was healed. Since I was healed, I is healed. Because I is healed, I ain't going to be sick no more. Verse 33, reason produced no viable answer. And most of the time when you're trying to figure things out, it doesn't produce a viable answer. Trust and obey ain't no other way. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. God said, I know reason is a part of your makeup, but come to me with that reason, and let's reason on my word, not on your what ifs. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow if you and I can just talk it over. Give me what you got so I can give you what I have for you. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Salvation was available to the religious leaders. Failure to believe damned them in their unbelief. They wouldn't reason with him. They wanted to reason against him. Only in and only through the word of truth can any degree of reasoning, understanding of the Lord be reached. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not mind, heart. Because your belly, your heart, is the throne room where the devil rules or God rules. When you suddenly are presented with fear, Queen, that fear is in your gut. Right here is where you feel fear. You feel your belly tightening because out of your belly are the issues of life. So when the Word of God says heart, it ain't talking about the blood pump. It's talking about your gut, your bowels of compassion. Out of your belly shall flow a river of living water. So he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, because you can have doubt in your head and still trust God in your heart. But you cannot trust God in your head with doubt in your heart and get by. The real you lives in your belly. And do not lean to your own understanding. He separated mind and spirit here. In the spirit, trust God. In your mind, don't get caught up in trying to figure it out. Powerful message today. Stop trying to figure out how, when, why, who, what. Trust and obey. Because if you start trying to reason, figure it out, comprehend, cause it to make sense, you can't go there. Trust with the heart, but not the mind. It is more than emotion. The heart is more than emotion. It's compatibility with or against God. Avoid the product of reason. It's foreign to faith. Miracles cannot be figured out. Well, let's see. He walked out there, and he just took his hand, and he put his hand on him, and he must have had something rubbed in his hand. There's some kind of magic salve in it. Avoid the product of reason. It's foreign to faith. Faith is trusting God in His Word. Faith is the ability to operate in an alternate reality. My body's telling me one thing in the natural reality. You sick. My Bible is telling me in another reality, with the stripes you were healed. I choose which reality I'm going to align with and live under. The natural realm gives one report based on facts. Well, the fact is, you flushed. You got a fever. You're shaky. You don't have an appetite. That's when you know you're sick. No appetite. But knowing you're sick don't matter, because in your knower, in your belly, I know that with the stripes I was healed. So this lie has got to go. I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to make room for it. I'm not going to get a quilt and two boxes of aspirins and some Coca-Cola and lay down on the couch. No. I'm going to ask myself this question. What would I be doing if I was healed? And then I'm going to get up and do what I would be doing if I was healed, because I am healed. So therefore, I must produce the fruit of right standing with God. The realm of the Spirit gives a counter report based on truth. Every day there's two voices going off inside of Nancy. One of them is saying what the natural world says, and one of them is saying what the word of truth she's hidden in her heart reminds her. It's not going to happen. There's no way this can happen. But inside she knows all things are possible to them that believe. So I'm going to shut off my head and turn up my heart. On the third day there was in Hebrews 11:3, we learn that God used words to form the world we're living in, to make the things we're touching, seeing, smelling, feeling. They all came out of God said. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, wait a minute, Pastor. The anointed Redeemer is at a wedding, and they're popping a cork. Yeah, they had popped so many corks that they ran out. Now, you're doing a wedding. Do you know how many people's coming? Do you know Uncle Fred's going to be there and he can handle two bottles by himself? And you know Aunt Susie's going to be there. And she's going to walk around with an empty cup trying to get some of yours because she done polished hers off in the first 5 minutes. I was going to have a toast with you, but my cup is empty. You know how many people's coming to the wedding. You know how much booze you need. You've already figured in Uncle Fred and Aunt Susie. And you know, well, there's going to be a couple of crashers. Free food, free booze. There's going to be some people coming, so get an extra three bottles for the crashers. So you've already did the list. You know who's coming to the wedding. So you've already laid in a store. But the boozers done drained you. Somebody been taking a little extra medication. A couple of fools been over in the corner practicing communion, and they're trying real hard to get it right. They have no wine. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? Do we look like the beverage commission? My hour of the miraculous has not yet come." Now, we know this story. Mary came to Jesus not because she was expecting a miracle, because he hadn't done none. I mean, Friday, if he had done a lot of miracles, we'd have expected she's going, "Can you work some of that, you know, rub them empty bottles and see what happens?" But he hadn't done any miracles. But a miracle had been done to him. He had been given a king's ransom at birth. And so Mary comes over and goes, "Jesus, will you break out the bag? I know you got a treasure following you. And you don't have a treasure to carry your coins if ain't no coins to carry. Now we know you got a king's ransom when you were born. You loaded. So break out a few bucks, send the boys down to the 7-Eleven, come back with a couple of cases of Mogan David, and we'll get this wedding going." Because being good Jewish people, they get Mogan David. Ain't going to get no four roses. Ain't going to have that cheap water. So she was expecting him to go buy some. But he said, "I don't respond to natural needs with natural answers. Why are you asking me for something when it ain't time yet for me to do something?" But you see, this inspires faith in me because it reminds me, I can get me a miracle out of time.
Right, right. That's good.
It ain't time for miracles, but since you ask,
yes.
Oh,
I get one. Yeah.
Suzanne, it may not be time for your miracle, but you can get some if you believe him to supply what it ain't even time to supply.
That's right. That's right.
I said to Daddy, "Thank you. I needed to learn that."
Amen. Amen.
My hour has not yet come. Out-of-season miracles are available.
Yes.
His mother said to the servants, "You see, you can't be put off because things didn't happen the way you wanted to." Jesus says, "Ain't no way, Jose." And she said to the servants, "Stand by, because he's going to come up with something. He ain't going to leave me hanging." Ruth, sometimes we got to determine, I didn't get the answer I want, but I'm going to be standing by because I know an answer is coming. I'm making room for my miracle. It ain't time for miracles. And you didn't even give me an indication that I was qualified for a miracle. In fact, you dissed me right in front of everybody. Not mama. Woman. Why are you putting this on me? But not to be put off, she says, "Servants, stand by. Because I've asked for a supply. I've been told it ain't time for supply. But y'all just hang loose because my time's coming." Say this with me. My time. Coming. It may not look like my time. It may not even seem like my time. But I want it. So it's coming. So Mary says, "Since you put me down, I..." No. Mary said, servants, stand by, because I'm getting me a supply. Not necessarily a miracle, but I asked for something. I'm going to get it. So y'all stand over here. You're the receiving line. I'm going back to the feast, but y'all receive it for me because it's coming. Ask and you shall receive. Whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. When Jesus says, I'm going to help you tie it on, he didn't go, here's a demitasse cup. 6 times 20 is what? 6 times 30 is? So Jesus supplies them. Now this is a wedding. You ever been to a wedding where they had 120 to 180 gallons of wine? You be singing, the moon is high, the stars are out, and soon will I be soon. Head me, bartender, I ain't half drunk yet. Read this story. Jesus is about to give them 120 to 180 gallons of hooch. Because God does exceeding abundance above and beyond all that you can drink. I mean, think. So the servants bring him the ceremonial washing pots. Now the ceremonial washing pots, Jesus says, if I'm going to do a miracle, I'm going to teach you a lesson. When the Jews came to a festival, this is the sneaking the Kleenex in the pocket part. When the Jews came to a festival, they would come to the ceremonial washing pots containing 5 or 6 firkins of water, and they would dip their hands into the water. And then they would lift their hands up and let the water run down and drip off of their elbow. And there was a ceremonial words that they spoke for to be ceremonially cleansed to eat. So it was the ceremonial washing pots where they stuck in their hands and said their Jewish expression that now I'm clean enough to eat. Jesus took their ceremonial washing pots and put new wine in it because it was the wine of the Holy Spirit that was really going to cleanse, not just a ceremonial cleansing. But here's where the Lord said to me this morning, said, where's the hoopla? And I went, what? He said, what's missing here? And I said, huh? He said, you know, the hoopla, the whiz bang, where is it at? God talks to me in ways I understand. If you don't understand it, we'll, you know, get a dictionary. He says, he told the servants, fill the pots with water, then draw it out and take it. Did I wave my hands over it?
No.
Did I touch them and say, yea, verily, water be wine? Did I get out the magic cloth? Now you see it. Now you don't. Then he said this to me, and it shook me right down to my sockless feet. I didn't turn the water to wine. And I went, what? Their obedience did. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And Friday, they cooperated with God.
Yes.
God said, fill the pots with water.
Yes.
And there was no whiz bang. And then Jesus standing, stretched forth his hand and said, yea, verily, water, become wine. How much faith did those servants have to dip in that cup and carry it to the governor of the feast? Who could have, if they had brought him a glass of water, thrown them out of the feast, and they wouldn't have got their share of the 120 to 180 gallons. They did what he said, and everybody got some red. You see, sometimes we're waiting, God, if you'll just have the preacher stretch forth his hand like this, I'll know it's you. If you'll just have Brother Richard and Sister Michelle sing number 47 twice and skip the third verse, then I'll know it's you. Trust and obey. There's no other way. The Lord said, fill the pots to the brim. Because I want everybody to know how much I supplied. Because if they just put some water in there, we wouldn't know. But we know exactly how much he supplied because he said, fill it to the brim. So they filled it to the brim until they couldn't put any more firkins in the pot. And then he said, now just draw out and take it. No hoopla. No ta-da. No. All right, everybody, watch this. Zap! No. Just put in the water. Now draw out and go give it to him because you don't need a lot of hoopla in your life. Trust and obey and it's done. Our God supplies without fanfare. If you need a marching band to believe that it's happening, you're in trouble. Trust and obey. And so they took it and the steward said, that's some good stuff. Have me two more. But you have kept the good wine until the last. Since words gave birth to the vines that grew the grapes that gave birth to wine, words could give new life to water because substance is subject to truth. I said, substance is subject to truth. Now say this with me. Things are changing in my life, in my health, in my finances, in my family members. You see, substance just became subject to your words. Faith in the life of a believer is the product of giving the word of truth first place in one's mind and spirit. I've got to determine that God's word is numero uno in my life. If he said with his stripes I was healed, I was healed. Since I was healed, I determined to be healed. Healing is coming upon me. And every time I celebrate my healing, thank God I am the healed of the Lord. I don't even have to sing that silly song. Thank God I feel a healing coming on. Well, glory be, he's healing me. And from this moment on, no, I don't have to feel it. We don't need the whiz bang. We don't need the Shazam. We don't need the whodunit. Just fill the pot. Giving the word of truth first place in one's mind and one's spirit is the first step to a life of faith. Allowing God's word to then become final authority. Gail, I read what God said, and I know all of this over here is saying no way, but God said way. I'm going to believe way, and I'm going to not even look at no way.
Right.
You know, senator from California, you know way. It'll get to you later. Allowing God's word to become final authority, step two. Spending quality time meditating the word of truth. Who said it? Who are they speaking to? What provoked them to say it? How does it apply to me? Let the word become life in your life. Spend quality time meditating the word of truth. Next, practice acting on God said as full authority. To be, to do, to have, I must act like it's true. Well, his word says, with his stripes I was healed. If I were healed, what would I be doing right now? I'm going to go do that because I'm going to act on my faith. Faith without action is dead. I want live faith, so I'm going to act on what I believe. The bank account says to me, you can't do something. I'm going to go do something just to prove it's lying to me. Spend time praying in the Spirit. For he that prayeth in tongues, prays in the Spirit, edifies himself. So edify yourself praying in the Spirit. Jude 20 doesn't say building up your faith. It says building up yourself on your faith. In other words, praying in tongues gives me the ability to believe Amen. What God said. Amen. Why? Because I develop a relationship. You can take somebody you don't even like and start talking about what about them is acceptable. And pretty soon you'll forget why you don't like them. Because simply by talking about what you can say good about them washes what you used to know to be true about them away. When I pray in the Spirit, Tina, as I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm communicating with God, and what used to keep me from believing God is washed away as I'm developing a relationship with God. Well, Pastor, I prayed in tongues last Wednesday night. When, you know, that time when Brother Richard said, everybody use your prayer language now. We were singing that song. Everybody stopped and went, Shandai, Shandai, and Mahandai. No. Daily, you're speaking in tongues. You're singing in tongues. You're worshiping in tongues. You're glorifying God in tongues. And pretty soon, everything that stood between you and God just disappears.
Amen.
Speak the truth in love. Build others up on the word of truth. Share the word that you're meditating. Demetrius, can I tell you this? God said he would never leave me and he would never forsake me. I used to have a problem with loneliness. I don't anymore because God's always there. I hang with the best. Depart from negative thinking. Arrest yourself. Arrest yourself. Every time a negative thought comes, go, no, I ain't thinking that trash. I'm not letting that trash in my head, because if it gets in my head, it might get in my heart. And I'm guarding my heart, because out of it are the issues, the seeds of my future. Sow positive, faith-filled words with others. You see, it's important for me to say to people from time to time, Jessica, God is love. I don't have to understand why. I just know God is love. Therefore, I is loved because God is love personified. And that while we were yet sinners, God loved me. And on my worst day, sent his son to die for me so that I could experience his best day of rapture and victory over death, hell, and the grave. Encourage one another with words that say, Richard, you know all things are possible to them that believe. You know, Gail, in this world, hell's going to break loose. But I'm encouraged by God because he said, I've already overcome it. And if I overcame it, you can too, because I'll overcome it with you.
Yes.
Look for places to practice faith. Look for places to practice faith. Those of you who have been around for a while will remember 7 years ago I taught you the various estates or levels of faith. Some of you still will have the drawing on the estates or levels of faith. It began with believing is to faith what training wheels are to riding a bicycle. You ain't going to see Lance Armstrong out with training wheels. Why? He's already mastered the art of bicycle riding. He don't need the training wheels anymore.
Right.
A lot of people say faith means believing. Not even close. But the beginning stage leading to faith, you're not in faith yet, is believing.
Right.
But you see, demons believe and tremble. It didn't do them any good. Believing doesn't do you any good. It's believing to the point you act on what you believe. And so I taught you, kindergarten faith is believing God. And then you go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And I told you, eventually you work up to the way where you are agreeing with God to the point that God's words has become your word. Because Friday, if I'm quoting God, I'm not in faith yet. Well, God said, with his stripes I was healed. Well, now I'm separating it from me and I'm putting it on somebody else. Well, God said. So I can go, can't blame me for what God said. But when God's word becomes your word and you just go, no, with his stripes I was healed. That's my word on it. Now you're in faith because God's word has become your word. But the highest level of faith is judgment. Oh, Pastor, I knew you was going to come up on me sometime like that, at judgment mess. No, I'm not talking about religious judgment where I know what you did. And I feel it my responsibility as a just and clean Christian to tell everybody what you did. That's not God judgment. The highest form of faith is judgment, because when sickness comes and knocks at your door and presents its biggest, ugliest, scariest face, you judge it as under the blood. No, I judge that under the blood. With his stripes I was healed. Since I was healed, I is healed. Because I is healed, I can't be sick. Sickness, you have no part in my life. I judge you broken.
Amen.
So judgment is the highest form of faith. A bill comes in, and you look at your bank account, and your bank account says it's $4.83 short of that much. And you know you got to leave $5 in the account to keep it open so they don't close it on you. So now I need $9.83 just to pay this, because I got to pay this and keep the account open. What do? You take that bill and you lay it down. Bill, I judge you paid, because it is written, my God supplies all of my need. I don't know who it's coming through. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how it's getting here. But more than enough is coming, because Bill, I judge you paid, because it is written, my God supplies all of my needs. And so you judge that thing. You see, the word of God says to you, judge righteous judgment. So righteous judgment is anytime anything comes into Ethel's life, she judges it by what God said about it.
Right.
No fear, you're not getting me, because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and sound mind. I judge you under my feet, and I get out of my face.
Amen.
When you reach that highest level of faith, you judge everything that comes to you through the filter of God said, and then you pronounce judgment on it. No, sickness, you will not rule over me. I'm ruling over you, because with his stripes I was healed. I judge you broken.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you to stand, and I want you to enter into judgment today. I want you to think of someone or something outside yourself. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, I was all ready to bless me. Blessing you is just the seed. But if I plant the seed, I can get a crop of what I'm giving out. So I want you to think of somebody that needs a financial miracle, or somebody that needs a healing manifestation, or someone that needs a peace in their mind or spirit, somebody that needs to be born again. And I want you right now, with the words of your mouth, to judge them according to what God said about their situation. Just go ahead, call them by name, and judge. Judge that person healed. Judge that person delivered. Judge that person saved. Judge that person free from Satan's dominion. Pronounce judgment on them now. Release righteous judgment. Now, Father, I enter into agreement with every person who is exercising righteous judgment at this moment. They're releasing their faith in the highest level by judging that thing or that person, that situation, by your word. I enter into agreement with them, and I call it done. Because now we have two or three agreed as touching a thing, it's done. I judge them healed, delivered, their bills paid, their life transformed, their children coming home. Father, we judge it this day. According to your word, we release righteous judgment, and we send that judgment forth now. Judgment, go, and crown them with God's presence and power, because we agree it's done by the name and the blood of your holy Son, Yeshua. Learn to rise to judgment. Don't let the world steal that from you. You know the Bible says, judge not. No, the Bible says, do not judge according to your opinion. But it also says, judge with righteous judgment.
Right.
That means pronounce what God said about it to it.
Yes, sir.
And you can begin, Deborah, to change people's lives. Deborah just rises up and she judges that thing. God's word said this. I'm pronouncing judgment. It's done. You see, when a judge says, I pronounce his judgment, brings down the gavel, what he says can't be his opinion. It has to be what the law book backs up. So when he judges it, he's agreeing with the law. So when you judge it, you're agreeing with the law of faith. And you're pronouncing sentence on it, and it has to happen. Father God, I thank you that I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. In-house, the Lord Fellowship Church, there's not one sick and not one feeble among us, but all of our people walk in health, walk in wealth, walk in joy, walk in peace. All of our people demonstrate the power of your truth. They walk in your truth. They talk in your truth. They demonstrate your truth, and they elevate your truth to a new level of reality in their sphere, that they become a force of influence to change those around them by your presence, living richly in them. Now, Father, I call alive the word of truth in this people. And I say, rise up, Spirit of Truth. Flow mightily through this people. Manifest through them and change the lives of those around them. Father, I thank you that our light does shine in the darkness and the world comes to a saving knowledge of you because of the light of your presence and power made manifest through our daily walk. And the people said,
amen.
You're loved, you're blessed, go with God.
Amen.